It's a small town, even though we're, well, Anthony lives on the east side, and then there's a lot of us live more like kind of in the middle part. So coming out to Lorain, it's, I say it's a small town, but I guess when you once you come out to Lorain, it's a Northeast Ohio can really spread out a lot. But everyone, you know, it's, everyone knows somebody. That's the stupidest thing I've ever said. Everyone knows somebody, of course. But you know what I mean? There's like a few degrees of separation, but so we really appreciate the invite. This is great. I really love connecting with new people and being in new places. It's great. It keeps you on your toes because the body of Christ is very diverse, not just in its people, but also in the music that we use, our denominations, and all those sorts of things. But you know, we have the great privilege of sharing the bread and the cup together. And that we are all joined together by Christ and through Christ, and so it's always great just to connect with all the different, you know, arms and legs of that body. So thank you again. I'm going to share a little bit about kind of my life. I was born at a young age, and then now I wrote that joke, not exactly. Now I'm older and married, and then I forgot what happened in between those two things. This is why I don't do stand up, really. That's my best attempt at an icebreaker. That is not good. But I've been leading worship for many years, been involved in the church life for a long time, which is great. I'm really privileged to say I grew up in a strong Christian household, not just by like title, but really that was the life I was raised in. I was very fortunate. I had a good church community that I was part of for many, many years, and I don't despise that at all. Sometimes people can feel like, you know, oh, I wish I had this great story I could tell about, you know, my doing all these terrible things and being saved by Jesus. And you know, I'm so grateful for those testimonies and to show like the work that God can do in such extreme circumstances. But I'm just as grateful that I was, you know what I mean, I was raised in a, and I say that more of a as a testament to, you know, our homes. You know, it's very important that we really take our family life very seriously, and because there's a lot of disaster that can be avoided of having a good place to grow at a young age. So just want to really encourage that. For those of you who may know that story a little bit more, I was a PK, so I'm on that kind of end, which doesn't, I should just say real quick, that doesn't mean that I don't have lots that I need forgiveness for. So I don't hear what I'm not saying, you know what I mean? But I do feel very lucky for that. But there is something that I noticed that happens for me, and I've seen with other friends who, you know, share this too, is that when you've been around something for so long, no matter what it is that you're doing, sometimes you can very easily forget, like, well, what is it that why do I even do this? Like, what am I even, what's the purpose? What's the point? You know, why am I giving my time to this? And as a worship leader, I got involved when I was a teenager, around 13 or 14. I've been involved in the worship team for a long, long time. And so at this point in my life, and I've had a number of moments where I've realized, you know, I kind of forgot why I'm doing this in the first place. And I very quickly realized that you can hide in front of everyone. You can hide in the light, as Keith Green once said, or sleep in the light is what he said. And I was doing that. I was singing the songs, and I was going to church and doing those sorts of things. But I was really hiding behind a microphone and a guitar. I won't call it a crisis of faith, but I went through a transition of, you know, a good one, I think, for a lot of you young people out there, if you've grown up in a Christian home and maybe introduced to it there, there's a point in your life where you're going to have to decide for yourself what you believe and where your faith lies. Because as great it is to have a strong house, my lineage goes back to my grandpa, who's been a pastor for many years, my dad a pastor, that's great. But eventually it comes to a point where I had to say, but will I take this and run with it for myself? And that can be a difficult time, because I think sometimes with family or at the church, people are like, oh no, what's going on? What's going on with the young person? Are they like, they're questioning their faith or they're doubting? But you know, there's a necessary process to go through with discovering the truth for yourself. And the best place to do that is in a church. And I say that for young people, if you're questioning, if you're not sure, don't leave the church. And if you're the parents, you know, pastors, the adults, don't, I mean, it's easy to fear, but don't fear, because, you know, help them through that process. Be patient with them. Don't give them quick, easy, cheap answers. Let them wrestle that out. I mean, the name that Jacob is given, a new name, Israel, the people of God, means the one that wrestles with God. That's the name that was given to Jacob. And so it's okay for us to go through that transition as young people. But when you do so, just remember a couple things. You're not the first one to do it. You're not the smartest one in the room. If you have questions, don't be lazy about it. Research it. Ask people who are knowledgeable. Ask your pastor, youth pastors. Anyway, I went on a tangent there. I apologize. Just feeling it. But so I went through that process. I went through that process as a young person. And as a worship leader, and as I was really seeking out what it is that I should be doing with my life, the Christian life, I started looking at, Kierkegaard said, this is the only smart thing I'll say all night. Kierkegaard, who's a Danish philosopher, brilliant guy, he said that it's dreadful, I'm paraphrasing, but it's dreadful to be alone with a holy God. And yes, it's even dreadful to be alone with the New Testament. And as I started reading through the Gospels, the type of life that Christ was really asking of me was something that even though I grew up in a Christian home and I really was taught the message of the kingdom, the words of Jesus, all that stuff, but it was like when I started to look at it myself, and I was like, wow, I feel like I've never even encountered this for myself, the real thing that Jesus invites us into, which is a life totally transformed, part of a completely different kingdom, a completely different, this dream of God that goes way, way beyond my religious duties. It goes, Jesus kept telling the Pharisees that he wanted mercy over sacrifice. It's like, okay, does that mean God's mercy over our sacrifices? But I think what he's meaning is that he wants from us an act of mercy over just the routines. You know, me, it's great, you know, leading worship, that's this time together, thanks so much, it was wonderful, I love doing this. But there's got to be a lot more to the Christian life than just making these kind of sacrifices, so to speak. What comes to mind, the thing that really struck me, one of the things, there's a lot of things in the Gospels that strike you, but one that really struck me is, and it's been used often, so it'll be familiar enough, is that Jesus is approached numerous times and asked what the greatest commandment was. And if you know anything about like Jewish law, there were a lot of laws. Paul says in Romans that the law, the benefit of the law is to show us that we're sinful, to show us that we can't measure up. In other words, there were so many laws and they were so difficult to keep that no one did it. And that's just, except for Jesus, and that's like the reality of it. So there was like over 600 laws in the Old Testament. And they're coming to Jesus and they say, well, which of these is the greatest? And Jesus answers, let's see if I can remember this actually. He gives, it's Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And it means, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And then he says, and that's, I just love that, so I had to share it. Second smartest thing I said. But then the next thing he said is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your whole soul, mind, and strength. And then he says, wait a second, but the second one is like it. Now, if you look at a lot of those stories, and I'm not a Bible scholar, so I could be missing it, but from what I can tell, they're only asking him one law. They're not asking him for two. They say, what is the greatest commandment? And yet Jesus goes almost out of his way to say, and the second is like it, or similar, tethered to, married to, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. It's the inescapable law. In Luke, there's a passage in which teacher of the law tries to escape the implications of that. He says, it actually says, but to justify himself, the teacher of the law asked, who is my neighbor? Because he knows what the implications are, that he has to love his neighbor, but there are people he doesn't want to love, so he's asking Jesus, but who exactly, is there wiggle room, who's my neighbor? And Jesus goes on to tell the story of the Good Samaritan, if you know that parable, which essentially is to teach this man of law. The Samaritan was neither of the same nationhood, he wasn't Jewish, and nor was he of the same faith. And yet that's the person that he was telling the religious man, like, that is the type of person that I'm talking about. And so I've been really, I was being transformed by the words of Jesus, which is kind of how this Christian thing works. And it dawned on me that the type of worship that he really desired of me was not just sacrifice, not just getting up and playing songs or tithing or those things, which are good, an important part of our Christian life, but that he wanted more than that. He wanted mercy, that he wanted me to love my neighbor, that he wanted me to, in very tangible ways. So that's the thing, is loving God can be this very mystical, kind of distant idea. How do I love God? How do I do that? But to love your neighbor, it's not. To love your neighbor is very, very practical. It's very much just feet on the ground. And so Jesus is giving us practical ways to love God, is to love thy neighbor, who is created in the image of God, you see. So when we love our neighbor, we're actually, that's a service unto God. And that changed me, because I was like, I'm coming up here playing these songs, which is great, but am I loving my neighbor? Am I extending beyond my border fence to do something on behalf of someone else? Am I laying down my life for another? Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to share in the death of Jesus Christ so that I can have life? And as I was reflecting all that stuff, and I wrote an album reflecting on that, and I partnered it with a nonprofit to serve the poor. So all the proceeds of that was going to a nonprofit, and then I'm actually involved. And these guys up here are helping with the project we're doing in January. Excuse me. It's a live worship album that we're doing with a few different worship leaders. And it's just a couple people that we all knew each other. So we don't mean that if the worship leaders at your church and stuff were invited, we're really sorry. We're not meaning at all to, like, you know, these are the people, and like none of that kind of stuff. It just so happened there was like a few of us who talked about this idea. And we did. Anyway, and so it's going to be a live worship record, and the proceeds of which all of it will go to an orphanage. And we wanted it, and it's really a question of how do we use, what kind of worship is it that God wants from us? I think is it Isaiah 58 or 61? I always confuse the two. 58, where it asks the question, you know, what kind of fast is it that I want? And it's not just to break the chains of oppression, set the captives free, and to mend the brokenhearted. And anyway, read it. It's, you know, read any part of the Bible, please. But it just pick a part of the Bible and read it. There's stuff in there that changes your life. But it was a question of what kind of worship, what kind of act of worship do I really want from you? And so we're partnering this project to try to do that. And this is just one way. You know, what are our gifts, and how can we use those on behalf of someone else? So I'm gonna finish with one song here. Thanks so much for the time and being patient with me. But I'm gonna do one more song. A song called "You Have Little Faith," and I wrote this for the first record. And it's really about what I just shared, and it really encapsulates like everything that I was going through in that season. And there's a line in it, in the chorus, that you have little faith in yourself, go prepare the way, and the way of the kingdom is what it's implying. You know, there's this famous story of Peter getting out of the boat, right? Jesus is walking on the water, which is like totally crazy if you think about it. He's walking on the water, and then Peter sees him, and he says, like, Lord, like, call me, and I'll come out there. You know, Peter was a very bold man. Peter usually acted before he thought, right? So that might have been one of those moments. And so Jesus says, all right, come on out of the boat, walk in the waves, and walk in the water with me. And Peter gets out. And it says that he you know, looked around, saw the waves, and he began to doubt, and he began to sink. And he cried out for the Lord to save him, and Jesus comes and saves him. And Jesus says to him, you know, you have little faith, why do you doubt? And you know, the way that I've always taken that is I don't think he's doubting Jesus, because he sees him out there doing it, you know. And Peter is the one that first recognizes him as the Messiah. He's the first one that says, I know who you are, you're the Son of God, you know. So he doesn't doubt, I don't think he doubts Jesus in that moment. But I think what he does is he doubts himself. He says, well, I can understand Jesus doing it because he's the Son of God. He can do all sorts of cool stuff, but I can't do that. I can't do that. But you know, the work of the kingdom, Jesus did these great things, and yet he said that we would do even greater things. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but what I do know is that if we have faith in Christ and we're doing the work of the kingdom, we can do it with confidence. We can do it with courage. We can do it with strength that God provides to us. So let's not shrink back to what he's called us to. Amen. This is that song. Thank you.
All my life I've been waiting for a story, while the story has been waiting round for me. I'll spend my days praying for the glory. Now the glory prays, I get up from my knees. I hear him say, oh, even the top pain in yourself, go prepare the way. You won't be alone, I will be there too. Child, we've got work to do. Little faith. As all our hope has been placed before the Lord, leaving nothing left to give humanity.
You can ask me about that one later.
But you and I, we've been strong into a chord. We can make heaven into reality. And I hear him say, oh, you have let your faith in yourself go prepare the way. You won't be alone, I won't be there too. Child, we've got work to do. Oh, you have little faith. We are born to number days, and every breath can waste them all away. This is the life that you have made. What verse would you have added to the play? With blood and tears to fill the empty page. Indifference at a price we can't afford. Our appetite for wealth too large to feed. Sell all your possessions and give to the poor. It's the cost within the calling if you want to follow me. And I hear him say, oh, you have let your faith in yourself go prepare the way. You won't be alone, I won't be there too. Child, we've got work to do. Oh, you have little faith. All my life I've been waiting for a story, while the story has been waiting round for me.
Thank you, guys. Oh, thanks. This is Rufus, by the way, on violin, so talk to him later, too.
One more time for Britton and the band. They have some CDs available in the foyer. You might want to stop by and check them out before you leave tonight. Let's receive tonight's tithe and offering, shall we? Thank you for your faithful giving here at Church on the North Coast in this season of giving. We just enjoy giving back to the Lord. Amen. And it's a privilege. Can we turn on the Christmas lights in the corners, guys? See, most people don't recognize that, but I see lights on back there. But I'm all out of balance. I want to fall to the left. There's Christmas lights all over that aren't plugged in. Marissa, where are you? You unplugged them the other night. She did. She was saving electricity. And now there's no Christmassy spirit in those corners. Let's give tonight. Thank you once again. Welcome to Church on the North Coast for all of you who might be visiting for the first time. We heard there was an accident on 990, but let's hold those and we're going to pray. Let's pray before we give. It's what we do. We pray before we give. We want to bless it. Let's bless it. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give into your kingdom. We know that it is a privilege to serve you and bless you. We give you praise tonight and thank you for the opportunity once again in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a bug on the platform. It's a bug right there. It's a bug right there. I don't want to kill it. It's a bug. I don't know what kind of bug. It's just a bug. It's just, look, it's a bug. Hey, you guys come up here and get the bug. Right here, right there. See? This is going to be, if you're watching, what are you doing? That's nasty. That's a bug. Listen, I'm not touching the bug. I know, you know, it could be planted. Hey, I've had an interesting weekend. How many have seen I've had an interesting weekend? The Bible says to rejoice when you're persecuted and whatnot. I was rejoicing. You know, I've learned that when you go to sleep, Satan doesn't. He's up doing stuff. The other night with a friend, somebody broke into his establishment, and so we were, you know, keeping watch of it. And I have this app on my phone, and it triggers the sensor triggers the app, and it sends me a notification. And so I wake up at like 5 a.m. to this app going off, and I'm trying to call my buddy and say, hey, the guy's in, he's there. Call the cops, you know. And so I'm trying to get there. Long story short, we missed them. But, you know, then yesterday happened and I realized that, you know, when we sleep, the enemy of our soul doesn't sleep and he stays busy. He's constantly trying to steal from us. He's constantly trying to take from you. He's constantly trying to rob you and pillage you and terrorize you and bring fear to you. And isn't it good to know that we have a Savior that watches us while we sleep? You know, I laid my head down last night and, you know, I said, Jesus, I have lots of guns here, but I don't want to shoot them. Bless them. You know, and help this person that's persecuting you. And so he did. And it's good to know that. Amen. Hey, tonight, it's really cool to be here this evening. And you know, many times in the kingdom, I feel like I'm between two worlds, and I'll explain that. I feel like I'm between two generations and two cultures. Many times between two cultures. I try to keep myself in the midst of the culture that exists beyond or outside of this one. Meaning, I try to understand the people I'm trying to minister to. So I try to keep my fingers constantly, ever, on the pulse of the people that aren't saved. And, you know, and if you do that, and if you're one of them, and you'll know that you're going to take it on the chin a lot, because people are going to, they're going to misinterpret what you do. They're going to suggest that you're too comfortable with this. And they're going to say things about you that aren't necessarily true. And I think that as I fight the battle, I find myself sometimes, you know, coming down to the generation beneath me and kind of associating that with them. And then there's this other part of me that has this love for the generation above me that walks with maturity and soundness. And I find myself in between two worlds. And tonight, for me, it ministered to me to hear Britton, and it ministered to me to see Natalie here tonight, because what it says to me is exactly what I know to be true, that there is a generation that is underneath of me that is considering the hard things, the tough questions that culture throws at them. They're not as mindless as some would suggest, or as they're portrayed in the media. They're not as absent as it would appear. And I call it the prodigal phase, and that's what Britton was talking about. He says we all question truth and allow that moment to happen in a young person's life, because it's the prodigal phase. It's the phase where they have to accept that truth for themselves, or else it's meaningless. It means nothing. The truth means nothing. And so tonight was a ministry for me, and it's incredible to see Natalie here tonight, and I'm going to introduce you to her, because she's amazing, and she does exactly what the Bible says. She goes and she is giving not only the substance or the food, she's actually giving Christ as she goes. She travels all over. I call her a modern day Mother Teresa. She won't accept that, but. Literally, if you could see her, maybe later in life she'll just stand up here all like Mother Teresa. But she's traveling the world, and she's not doing what other girls her age are doing. I rarely see her on Facebook, and when I do see her on Facebook, it's where she is in some part of the world ministering the gospel. So could you stand to your feet and make welcome tonight Natalie Neubauer as she comes to share the word with us. She's amazing.
Cool. Thanks so much. Those are really kind words. But I everything that Brayden was talking about as he finished up his set is still everything that I'm wanting to grow in. Like, everything he's saying is like, man, just believing that God is, I don't know, he's so for us. He's not against us. There's nothing to fear as we step out with him. It's so the cry of my heart right now. So it was like good for me to be in here and hear that. I heard it last night, but good for me to hear it again and in a different angle here tonight, because I get to come and talk about some really cool stuff that God is led me in doing. He's let me do the way he's met the desires of my heart, but it's totally God, and there's so much more. Yeah, I want to grow in with this. So I just have a little slideshow, and I'm going to go through it pretty quickly. But just a quick background is, so my name is Natalie. I actually grew up in this church a long time ago, Natalie Neubauer, with my dad and mom. And I've been over with this missions organization called YWAM, so it stands for Youth with a Mission, YWAM. And I've been over in Australia with them for 7 years now. So right before I turned 20, I went on staff. And I always give this little disclaimer, so many of you might have heard it already, but I didn't ever really plan on living in Australia. I've always wanted to travel. And when I became very convinced of God after I went through my little time of grappling, like Britton and Troy were talking about, where I was like, okay, do I really believe this stuff? Is God really real? And it is, and there's a very defined time in high school for me where I was really figuring that out. And once I kind of came to the conclusion that, yes, God is real, I've always had the desire to travel. But I recognized it as being from God. And it became, like, I want to travel and I want to tell people about Jesus. Like, it was that simple. And it still is that simple, that I think at times get way more complicated than that. But it's actually still that simple. And but I went over to Australia. And Australia, just because it sounded right. Like the base there, there's bases, YWAM bases all over the world. Hundreds, even some in, like, many in the United States. And I have no idea why I looked into Australia, and I read about the base, and it just sounded right. And they're a very city-focused base, where they were a hardcore band that played off the base, and they had skateboard ministries, and I wasn't into any of that stuff, but I just thought, wow, like, how different, I'm just so curious about this. And so I went, and I really actually fought God about going back on staff. I was like, oh, I don't want to do this, I don't want to live there. Australia once, great, Australia twice. No go. I'd rather go somewhere that sounds a little more legit, or I don't know what I thought I wanted. But I went back, and it's just totally been the place that has given me the framework to do the things that God's wanted me to do. So that's the quick background there. So if you can put it the first slide. Oh, yeah. So sorry, right really before that. Oh, that's fine for that. That is there. But in general, what I've done there is I staff these and lead these 5.5-month mission schools. So they're called DTSs, Discipleship Training Schools. I think you guys know a few people who have gone and done them now, which is really cool. And they consist of a lecture phase and then an outreach phase. So usually we send teams overseas. So right now, for our July quarter, we have teams that are coming back in the next couple of days from India, from Israel, and Tahiti. And I can't, there's somewhere else, but I can't remember. And then in about a month from our October quarter, we are sending teams out to Latvia and to Moldova and, I don't remember where else, Bangladesh and, a few other places. So we maintain this really amazing balance that I love of being really city focused. Throughout their lecture phase, they're doing outreach in the city every single week. So reaching out to Western culture, to people their age. But then we go to, in some instances, the unreached people groups. Or we've had teams in Europe a lot in the last year. Not necessarily unreached in a way, but a lot of people don't know about God, or it's not very alive. So I generally, that's what I do. I lead these schools, and that's actually what I'll be doing next year as well, is leading these schools. But I had a bit of a funny year this year, and I really felt God wanted me to go work with a different organization for a chunk of time. And so leading up to that, I did a lot more practical stuff around the base. And so for a couple weeks in May, I went and I visited a team in the Philippines. So we sent a team out. Sometimes we need people to go support the leaders, which is a sweet job. It's like you have to go lead the leaders, kind of. And so I got to go run over to the Philippines and be with them for a couple weeks. Those are a couple photos from that. See the next one. They love basketball there, which is cool. And then the next one. The other thing I did was I helped out with the skate ministry. So every single Saturday, we reach out to youth in our city, and we do that through a skate team, surf, art, music, dance. And they needed a skate team leader, and I'd had it on my mind for a while. So I was, for 6 months, I was leading this little group of guys, and we come from our city, and we take them out to different skate parks. So we'll drive them an hour away or half an hour away and get them to all these parks they don't normally go to. Skate culture is really strong in Australia, and it's actually a pretty harsh culture. A lot of drugs, a lot of fights. A lot of kids come from a lot of broken homes there, and so it's a place of community. You gather and you feel safe. You have friends around you. You're applauded for your good ability to skate, and there's very much that you see the older guys there who are all there, you know, often dealing drugs or doing whatever, and then these really, 9, 8, 9, 10 years old. Spent all day of their weekends there just being really influenced by this. So being able to go into the skate parks and be a present is a really, really cool thing, really powerful thing. So I've been learning to skate a little bit, but I skate like this much. I'm too old. I keep learning little bits more and more. So then the next photo is we're actually going to do this again in February. We rent out an indoor skate park, and they skate from 10 o'clock at night till 7 o'clock in the morning, and we get kids from all over the city for this, and we tell them about Jesus. We float around all night and just talk to them, bring them to our youth service that we run. And it's one of the events of the year kind of thing for skaters in our city. So instead of leading this team right now, every Saturday I go to this one local skate park, the one right by our house. And I'm not taking a group of guys out every Saturday. I'm going to this one park every week with this group of people and just talking to kids about Jesus. So expect us there every single Saturday. And this is the last Saturday when I was there, because I just got back a couple days ago. These kids are like, when's Inslamnia happening? When's it happening? Like totally unchurched kids, but they know about this event and want to come. So that's another thing I was doing, and this stuff is all ongoing. It's going on right now as we speak in Australia. So the next slide. In January this year, this girl with the white tank top in the middle, she started up this ministry called Rahab, and it actually runs in southern Australia, and we just got it going in Newcastle, which is a city I live in. And prostitution is legal in the state that I'm in. This is called the state of New South Wales. So when you drive down the main street, you see brothels. Like it's they're advertised. It's very blatant. It's not like nothing's hidden about it. And so they have a ministry that goes in Adelaide where they actually go to these brothels and they meet with the girls. They bring little gifts and then they just befriend them and talk to them about Jesus. And you would think it wouldn't work, but it actually does. So this ladies came up and helped us get it started in January. So we've been going out for 11 months and we visit about 10 brothels in the city. We don't go out often. It's once a week on Thursday nights and we're split into two teams. So I'm usually going out like every other week kind of thing. So it's not like this isn't, I don't spend all my week, you know, days of my week in brothels or anything, but it's one of a lot of things that we're doing, but, we've had just tremendous favor with it. They spent a lot of time praying before we went in, like a year of having these schools go and just pray around the area, and often you have a bit of a tougher time actually getting in the door, like, what are you here for? And I just explained where we have a hotline number, and we have a female doctor in the city that we're connected with and a female counselor, and one of the girls on our team is a lawyer. She's from just one of the local churches. So if any of these girls want further help, they can call us, or they can call us and we'll go out for a cup of coffee with them, which is... And so if any of these girls want further help, they have this hotline number. So we go to the brothels and you go to the staff room. Like the managers will let you in, especially if they're familiar with you, which they all are now with us. And we go to the back room, like the staff room, and you sit with the girls for as long as... Honestly, there's a couple of them where we could be there all night if we wanted to be. But we do like 5 per night. And so sometimes it'll be like an hour, or if there's Asian ones, which are quite a lot more difficult because of the language barrier, but you're only in there pretty quickly. But you get to talk to them about their story and pray for them. And we've had plenty of prayer times in the back of brothels where girls are, you know, as you're talking to them, are getting pulled out to work with customers. It's pretty incredible the freedom that's there. I mean, it's heavy sometimes, but at the same time, the freedom that's there to just be really straightforward. Like, man, your life story, it's tough. Like, I'm gonna tell you the only thing I know. You know, that's gonna fix this. And the only thing I've found to be true about what you're talking about. And so, so that's been going on. And when I'm in Australia, it's something I'm a part of. And then the next. Thing. I don't even know what this. Oh, yeah. So that's a picture of one of the windows, one of the brothel windows in Newcastle. You can't really show tons of photos of this kind of stuff. So, So then the next one. And so this summer, I just ended up staffing a school over in Germany with a different missions organization. It was an evangelism arts-focused school. Next slide. We did. And that's in a lot of Brazilians. So it's a photo with the Brazilians. Next slide. We did a lot of street outreach stuff, which is in Germany. People say, like, oh, in Eastern Europe as well, which is formerly communist. Oh, people here they're really tough. They don't want to hear about God. It's very atheistic. Like, you're not going to get anywhere. But it's so not true. Like, we're going to have tough times as we talk to people about God, for sure. Not all the time is it going to mean walking up to somebody on the street in this cold start conversation. Like, hey, I don't know you. I've never met you before. There's totally a place for that, though. So be sensitive as God kind of prompts you about people. There's totally a place for just the street evangelism. And for some, that's not going to be the main way you do evangelism, and that's totally okay. But with this, I'm learning as I'm getting older, as I'm doing this stuff, that people will tell you that people don't want to hear. And they'll tell you, like, oh, it's really hard, and it sometimes is, but it's never true that everybody doesn't want to hear. And it's never true that I haven't found a place yet, and I haven't been everywhere by far, but I guess I would have thought this would have been one of the tougher places to be in. I would have thought Australia would be one of the tougher places to be in. Like, everybody's heard it, or they just don't care, or they have everything they need. And people are lonely, man, and they long for community, and they long to hear about somebody who loves them, somebody who has some sort of stability outside of their extremely unstable lives. So the people in the school created this whole dramatic presentation. I'm not super into that stuff, so I was like, oh, I don't know, is this going to work? People are going to be weirded out by this, and people just were drawn. This was the representation of Jesus at the end. He's this fire spinning. I live with a lot of hippies this summer. So then the next slide. We went to a festival in Poland, and it was called Polish Woodstock. So 500,000 people go through it. They camp. It's nuts. It's like living in a refugee camp. So then last night, it's like there was like mud made out of beer and urine. Like, you're just like, it's just full on. Like, you're walking through and you're like, oh my gosh, this is. But we would just spend our days and nights just talking to people about Jesus. And again, people were so open and wanted to hear and would let us pray for them. And next slide. Let's keep it moving. Yeah, this is one of the scenes, the Catholic priest praying for one of the festival participants. Next slide. And again, that's the main stage back there. So all that was people and people camping. And the next slide. Which time? We don't have a ton of time left, do we? Then after that, I don't think we'll show the video. We'll skip it. I went around with a band, and I have a video, and it's on my website, and if you ever want to just see, I went around with this band throughout Poland, and then they do this whole artistic, like, presentation of the gospel message, and would set up in city centers. And so it was in, like, downtown Warsaw in front of, like, H&M, and they're set up doing this whole artistic presentation of the gospel, and they've been around for about 20-something years, and people would respond. They'd hold these big torches up at the end, like, if you want to know God, come to the fire, and people come to the fire to commit their lives to God, or renew, say they believe in God again. And it was a really powerful thing. I came back to Nui, and I came on this full-on building project. So this is where I live in Australia. We have this big warehouse, and it's being renovated into our offices and into a place for youth in the city. So when I say that we run skate teams and art teams and music teams, this is the spot that we're going to be running all this stuff out of. We do some stuff out of it right now, but there's more to come. It, we used to fix trucks, so there really wasn't anything in here. So we had to start from scratch with everything. And so you learn all these funny skills, and you do a little bit of everything when you're in YWAM and missions or this kind of stuff. So the next slides. And again, that's a different view of it. There's going to be a cafe in the corner. We're right by a high school, so we get these kids just walking past all day in front of this building. And you can actually go into the high schools as well. We have a group right now who are starting to run bullying seminars. Like, they're in the public high schools. These are people I work with every day, and they're running bullying seminars, like, in the city, which is a huge, huge issue in Australia. Next slide. And then just learning to grind things. That's me. I was like grinding rust off of a piece of metal for I think it was going to be for the balcony. Like, it was going to be like the things that they put in along the balcony. So you do all sorts of funny things. I came back to just absolute chaos. Like, you'd be walking to your desk and like dodging sparks just everywhere as people were grinding. And so I actually don't even really feel, I always do that. I'm like, wait, back. let me just back, like, tie that up a little bit better. So yeah, so then I said, next year I'm going to be leading more schools over in Australia and continuing time with YWAM. I think it's just cool to hear. It's cool to hear that there's, I think we hear missions and we think, like, I know my first thought was various nations in Africa, you know, or certain, that's kind of what comes to mind first. And thankfully, I've been able to do some of that stuff, which is really cool. But I think years ago, if you had told me, like, this is how I was going to be working out my faith, like, this is how it was going to look like, I wouldn't have been like, oh, I don't know, it doesn't seem right. But God has really met the desires of my heart to just do the coolest things. And so I say that I don't feel to add a ton more, because I think I more want to focus on what Britain was really highlighting. Because in all this, I mentioned last night that I actually had like a really tough year as well. It was a really good year. It was doing things I really felt like God was telling me to do. And I saw things I'd never seen before. I've been to nations I've never been to before. And but there was still there's been this time of just testing of my faith. And if you had told me before this time, like, oh, like, does God test our faith? I'd been like, oh, I don't know, I guess so. Like, it says that in the Bible. I don't know. Like, but I guess we have hard times sometimes. I don't know. But I think there's just been this real longing in my heart for just more. Like, it's like, man, God, you have more. You have more. You have more. You have more. Like, you have more that you want to do in my life. You have more greater ways you want to reach people. He loves our world so much. It actually overwhelms me at times. I'm just like, oh, like, it can actually be a little bit of a heavy thing at times. I'm just like, oh, like, how do you carry this? Like, how do you care? How do you care about our world? You know, it's like, how do you care about nations? How do you, like, God, is this, you know, it can almost be like a little bit of a burden. And I think what Britton was talking about today is just so, so, so key, which is just remembering, like, God is so strongly with us. And I really feel to remind us of that, because it's over my own life right now, over these, like, right now it's kind of these, like, for me, in the sense, like, the bigger picture calling things. God is so strongly with me. Where the specific area I'm getting tested, well, there's quite a few things, but one thing is just this fear of doing the wrong thing. I have this fear, like, oh my gosh, what if I miss it? What if I turn left and God said to turn right? Or what if I go to this nation instead of this one? Or what if I lead the school and I shouldn't have? And it's just like, I know it sounds silly, but I think you can identify over whatever area. Maybe you can. Some people actually don't really struggle with this particular thing, but it's like whatever your particular areas of your life. And I really struggle sometimes just like fearing, like, oh, I'm going to mess things up. And there's can be in times a response of kind of frantic activity in response to it, which is like, oh, I feel all this for the world. And like, I don't want to mess things up. Like, how do I do everything right? And man, I've said this like 4 times, what he was reminding us into the truth that he was speaking out to us, which is like, man, like, we create with God. Like, he is so for this stuff. He's so in love with our world. He's so in love with you. He's so in love with me. He's so for our hearts to go and reach nations, to reach our brothers, reach our sisters, to reach our children, to reach, you know, our city. Like, he's so for those things that I know from my life, I'm learning, I don't need to fear like the way that I fear. There's such a greater joy in serving God, and I sometimes let him work out in me, because this is like this anxiousness. And so the thing that God has just been reminding me of is a lot of things again, but this verse came up and we hear it a lot. And it just talks about, you know, the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And I was talking about this last night and I'm like, I don't really understand what that means. Like, how does character produce hope? But there's such a longing in me to be changed right now. It's like, I want to be changed. Like, I want to be different. I want to, like what he was saying about, I want to not look at myself and say like, oh, am I capable of doing this? Do I have enough skills? Am I good enough? Am I good enough? I don't know if you ask yourself, am I a good enough mom? Am I a good enough parent? Am I good enough at my job? Am I like, it's like, oh, well, okay. And some things, and I'm learning this without being super negative, but in some things, you know, I'm never going to be good enough. That's okay. Like, but it's like, God is God. I think I'm longing for this revelation in my life that like, God is God, man. He's huge. He's massive, and he loves us. And there's I love this line that he sang out earlier in one of the songs, and it says, "I want." He's like, creation sees God and it composes. Like, creation sees God and it's like responds. And there's that verse, those verses in Isaiah, and it's like, and the trees of the field like clap their hands, you know, and the mountains and the hills like burst in a song before him, or something along those lines. And it's this epic picture of creation just responding to God. And as I was hearing that line today, I'm like, whoa, I'm creation. Like, I'm God's creation. And there's this like sense that I get to like compose and get to, you know, like get composed because out of response to God. And I just want to just, yeah. The other thing too is like, is the abiding in God thing. Like, he's again, just been really strongly reminded. And I don't, these things are very linked, but also could be two very separate sermons, I guess. But I just felt to say both, because whether you 100% link it all in your head, it's still good to hear. It's like, God's been strongly reminding me of like everything in John 15. Like, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Like, abide in me. Do I really believe that in my wanting to do all this stuff for him, which has at times, like I've said, produced a little bit of fear in my life that like, okay, I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm going to do everything right. Do I really believe that it's like, it's going to start first with my abiding in him, my knowing him, my nearness with him, my intimacy with him? And so there is just like, there's tremendous hope. So he says, you know, we boast in the hope of the glory of God, and we glory in our sufferings because we know that they produce perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. And so there's so much of like, for everything I'm longing for with God right now, God, I don't want this fear anymore. God, I don't want to look at myself. I want to reach your world. Like, I want to reach people. So there's so much hope. And my line right now, I was like, God, just change my mind. Like, change my mind about stuff. Like, I want my DNA actually to be different about this. I think, I feel like I had one more thing to say about that. Let me just make sure. Oh, yeah, and this was the other thing. Again, I feel like these aren't all strongly, strongly linked, but they're just three kind of strong points that are going through my head right now, so it's worth it to say them all. But they're all about God, so they're all linked. But this grows in us, right, this sense of like, okay, as God does stuff in our life, as I'm crying out to God, take my eyes off myself, like, give me this boldness, I don't want to fear doing the wrong thing. God's going to just grow this area in my life that I can point to that says, like, I know that God has done this. And there is so much in my life that I can point to and be like, I know God has done this. Somebody could come up to me with the best theological argument ever about why God's not real, or the Bible's not real, why this, why that. And I can be like, sweet, that's a great argument, but I know that God has done this. And I'm longing for more of that. And I'm just like, but the cool thing is like, I'm understanding this deeper, God every single day wants to, in some way throughout this dream, wants to keep growing this circle around me that I point to and say, I know. And in the meantime, as he's growing and expanding the circle, I still have this stuff that I know that he's done that I can be pointing people to, that I can be helping to free people with, you know? So like in all of our lives right now, we have a story already. You have your salvation story, you have things God did yesterday, you have stories about your family that you can point to, like, I know God has done this. And so we lead people into those things, like, man, like, come on, let's believe in God together. He's done this. But then not being ashamed of the times when he pulls us back, when he tests our faith, not being ashamed of those moments where he pauses us. It's not even always a pause. Sometimes it's as we live out our faith, where he tests our faith and it produces perseverance and it changes our character and then it grows that area around me. And so it's like, I guess it's the best way to tie it up, is I'm longing for this. Like, it's like, it's cool. I want to keep doing cool things for God, like what's right for my life, how he's made me to be, but I want to do it out of this always expanding reality of like, I don't want to present fear to people. I want to present like, you could, maybe God's like stressed about what decision you're going to make over these two amazing options, you know, like he's, I don't want to present fear to people. So I'm like, God, I long for this in my life. I long to be changed. I long to be transformed so that when I go out, I have this greater freedom. Like my dad was telling me last night, he's like, free people set people free, you know? So it's like, God, free me in this. But again, not forgetting like, he has done so much already, too. Like, so much. He does. I'm not disqualified. We're not disqualified. We don't have nothing to give. Like, so much to give. So many. Oh, there's so many people that we have freedom to offer them. So, a few things, but good stuff. So, maybe, I don't know, do you know? I'll just pray for us really quickly, and then however Mary wants to wrap it up, maybe we'll pray more, or maybe we'll just go at home, I'm not sure. But, yeah. I just thank you so much for everything that you are personally leading me through, and I just thank you so much that it gets to affect other people. And I thank you, that's so true for me, which means it's so true for every single person in this room. And yeah, God, I do feel to just, in your name, yeah, just totally break shame over anybody's life in this room, God. And I include myself in that, God, any shame over you wanting to just totally expand our reality of who you are. It's such a beautiful thing. God, I just thank you so much that we can have a hope in you that is not going to disappoint, that you totally say that you're not going to disappoint. And we know that because you've done it so many times. But I just thank you that you're showing us new areas of our lives all the time. That you're like, and now I'm not going to disappoint you in this. And now you're going to know that I know that you know that you know that I'm not going to disappoint you in this. And now that you know when someone else comes up to you with this, I'm not going to disappoint them either. And God, I thank you for that. It's so beautiful. And so, yeah, God, just keep doing a totally amazing, complete work in our lives. Keep simplifying our faith. Keep just making it just like you talked about today, loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving everybody else, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Thank you so much for how beautifully simple you've made it. And God, in my own life, I just long for that simplicity, that total trust in you. And again, just over this room, God, that we would be That all of us would just continue to be these little walking encounters with you, that we would just, we would keep having encounters with you so we can be encounters with you. And thank you for that. Thank you for just the tremendous giftings in this room and all the stories that are represented in this room. There's tremendous stories in this room. And it's just, thank you so much, God. Amen.
And you see the heart of Jesus in her. Isn't it great? And we've just been blessed with Britton, and I know that you see on the screens Natalie's website, and she's going back on the 31st, and she needs more monthly support. And if you want to just tell her you love her with a little bit of money tonight, do it. Or get online and just see how you can support her when you can, and she'll be out. She loves to pray for people. I know she'd pray for you if you're interested in talking to her. And Britton's CDs are out there. Get some music and say hi to him. Thank you for being here. It was good to be with family tonight. Good night.